You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome into the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Willie Donick, Marquise Munson, Elijah Campbell today with Darren and Chase taking a long weekend. We press on. We've got some great stuff coming up on the show. As we promised you earlier, time to talk to Adam Vingan from The Athletic. He covers the Nashville Predators as the NHL has now gone to their phase two with the players able to work out on the ice in small groups, working towards, hopefully, the start of training camp around July the 10th. Adam, welcome to the show.
Who gets top billing in this situation? Is it Willie, Marquise, and Elijah? Marquise, Willie, and Elijah? Elijah, Willie, and Marquise? What's the order here?
Yeah, it's a one-day lineup, so I don't know that we have billing, so to speak. It's a mini, it's a sideshow. It's a side billing.
We're G League.
There's a small sign, yeah.
Me and Elijah are G League players, so we're just playing our rotation right now. When coach says put them in, we just go in and play.
It's our call-up day. We're the Admirals right now.
It's like when Mad Dog Russo, the one day that Mike Francesa was out at WFAN, changed the Mike and the Mad Dog song and angered Mike Francesa to the point that he threatened to quit. So I was just wondering if it was sort of like that.
Yeah, Elijah, we need a new intro.
We should have done that. Hey, me and you are both on tomorrow. We can hijack it then.
Yeah, we can do that. Sorry, Willie.
Well, let's delve in to a couple of things that Adam has been working on here. Adam, you got a chance along with the Nashville media to talk to the captain, Roman Josi. Give us your thoughts as they move ahead here, and they're going at a fairly deliberate pace here. They want to make sure they don't do too much too fast. I had in my mind that when phase two happened, you'd have more of a percentage of each team in their home city working out together, but it's not going to happen quite as quick as it might seem.
No, and if I recall the press conference correctly, because I asked Roman specifically how many of his teammates were in town holding these informal workouts, and he said roughly 10. And that was the other interesting thing as well is Roman was talking about players working at a different facility. You know, members of the media were asking about Bridgestone Arena and I suppose Centennial Sportsplex. But Roman was talking about how he and his teammates were training at a unspecified location and they had not yet re-entered the Predators facility. So perhaps that could happen soon. I mean, you see it on social media. A lot of teams have been welcoming their players back to their respective arenas and practice facilities to hold these informal workouts. So I'm not sure when they're going to transition from these informal workouts to these voluntary workouts, which I guess are the same thing, but you know what I mean, in terms of being in the facility, whether it be Bridgestone or Centennial.
You know, it's interesting. There's been a lot of flexibility given, I think, to the players just make sure you're skating. You're clear to skate. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of communication with strength coaches, conditioning, on how they go about it. And I'm not just talking about the Predators. I'm talking about with every team in the league because you literally still have people all around the globe. There's a lot of logistics here. And eventually, by towards the end of this month, you would hope that everybody is closer to being back in their town, right? So that they can start looking forward to July 10th, because that's the key date that everybody's got to be ready to go in enough shape to start a training camp.
What I think is interesting is that the NBA, I believe, has a specified date in which players have to return to their home cities to begin training camp. I think it was either this week or early next week, but there was a specific date that NBA players had to return to their, you know, where their team plays. We haven't seen that date in the NHL yet, which I think is interesting. I'm wondering if they are trying to get as close to July 10th as possible before making that decision in terms of, okay, we need every player to be back in their city by whatever date. But I do find it interesting that the NHL hasn't made that decision public yet. And I spoke to Matthew Shane a couple of days ago for an unrelated story, and he mentioned to me that around Memorial Day, he and his young family chartered a plane and went back to Haliburton, Ontario. And he decided that he just thought it would be safer up in his cottage area, just because there are so fewer people in Lake Country Canada than there are in Nashville. So he and his wife and his young son went back up north. And when I asked him at what point he feels like he'll have to come back to town, he didn't give me a specific answer, but said he has a plan in mind based on July 10th in terms of the training he's doing, when he would like to get back to Nashville, when he would want to be quarantined before going into the facilities, et cetera. So I know these players are planning like July 10th is the date for right now.
Adam, in the meantime, we're still piecing together different things, trying to keep ourselves occupied before the action starts, and we still got a ways to go for sure. And there's only so much, you know, you can do in terms of, you know, waiting for the practices to start. So you had the voting that's been going on here. You've written about that. Something you also decided to tackle. I thought this was humorous based on all the history of this. The last go around of the expansion draft. Yeah. How many funny things we had that were going on. The reaction to different things, but. You know, I do imagine that the Predators have looked at this down the road. Eventually, they have to prepare what they're going to do when the expansion draft comes around and Seattle starts selecting players. So you actually took a run at that for the first time. So mark the date.
Right. The expansion draft is scheduled for next June. Though I wonder if that might change because of the after effects of the coronavirus pandemic in terms of the NHL schedule. But at The Athletic, we're going to run another version of our Seattle mock draft, which we've done a couple of times. I think that's going to publish within the next week or two. So I wanted to get ahead of that by putting together my third edition of my Predators protection list, the first one I did in December of 2018 and the second one I did last July. So this was my third attempt. And what I decided to do this time was use both options of protection, the 8 skaters and 1 goaltender, and the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goaltender option. Of course, the Predators were one of 7 teams in the Vegas draft to protect 8 skaters instead of 7 forwards and 3 defensemen. But one thing that came up as I was doing this exercise, especially for the 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goaltender option, was which one of the Predators' big defensemen are you leaving out to dry, so to speak? And I wondered if Mattias Ekholm might be the player who would, the big name player that might be left exposed if the Predators do a 7-3-1 protection list, just because he'll be 31 at the time. He'll have 1 year left on his contract. He's in line for a big raise because of how steady of a defender he is. But you have Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis signed for close to the next decade as big money contracts. So it might be time to move on from one of those big defensemen. So I wonder if the Predators would ever consider that, considering they were one of a few teams to protect 4 defensemen last time.
Well, that, I think, is the most intriguing part from what we learned that Vegas did, right? And at the time, the Predators had the 4 ace defensemen. They just could not. They could not cope with leaving one of the 4 exposed. But right. When you go 7-3-1, you do have so much more flexibility in who you save amongst your forwards. I mean, how can you possibly not leave a pretty good forward sitting there like James Neal the last time if you protect the 4 defensemen? So that's the part that intrigued me, Adam, because in a year, I think we have to find out, you know, how much progress does Dante Fabbro make. Right? Is he worth protecting? I think they certainly think he's a valuable guy that's going to be around for a long, long time. And then how do they feel about their ability to re-sign Mattias Ekholm, and what's his value at age 31? Those are the two critical questions.
Yes. And you know, when I did the 4-4-1 method, the 4 forwards, 4 defensemen, 1 goaltender option, I chose to protect Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson, Matthew Shane, and Philip Forsberg. Now, that is, of course, subject to change. There was a commenter on the story this morning who made a very fair assessment that Ryan Johansson should be exposed in the expansion draft, and that is something I guess worth talking about at some point. But, you know, if they were to protect those four forwards, that leaves a Colton Sissons, you know, a Callie Yarncrow, a Craig Smith or Mikhail Granlund if one of them is re-signed. I mean, it leaves Connor Ingram exposed. He is eligible for the expansion draft. So there are going to be more, they're going to be more experienced goaltenders than Connor Ingram, but, you know, he'll have upside at that stage of his career. But, you know, I think Colton Sissons seems like a perfect, perfect expansion choice because he's, you know, he's young, he's 20, he's in his late 20s. He plays every position on every line. He has, at that time, he'll have 5 years left on his contract, under $3 million per season. I mean, he's the perfect player for an expansion franchise, I feel like. And the Predators know how important a player like Sissons is, so losing him would certainly be risky.
We're talking to Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Now, Adam, you mentioned Ryan Johansson, and he joined Preds Insiders earlier this week, and he talked about playing his best hockey in the postseason, and he jokingly said, you know, wanting to prove the haters wrong. So is he one of those guys that going into this season or this postseason could really be one of those breakout players for the Preds that may have struggled in the regular season and can help the Preds move forward in this postseason?
Well, he better be. Because a $36.8 million number one center does not get you anywhere, which is what Ryan Johansson was during the regular season. But he is absolutely right that the postseason brings out the best in him. I mean, I'll always remember a conversation I had with him during the 2017 playoffs after the first round but before the second round. So, and I was talking to him about the importance of this postseason for him, and he looked back at his performance against Jonathan Toews in the first round in the sweep of the Blackhawks, and he felt like that was his first true statement to the NHL, that up against a multiple-time Stanley Cup-winning, celebrated captain, he dominated him on the biggest possible stage. And he carried that with him throughout the postseason, and we saw how great he was shutting down top players against the St. Louis Blues and the Anaheim Ducks before he was injured. But there are multiple players who I think that will be benefited by this break. We've talked about Victor Arvidsson health-wise. We've talked about Pekka Rinne mentally. And I think Ryan Johansson falls into that mental category as well. I think the mental game is going to be even more important this postseason than in other postseasons because of the changes in play and not playing in front of fans and the effects that that can have. So, you know, Ryan Johansson, this team will only go as far as he takes them. So to answer your question, he better be ready.
Speaking of changes, obviously, you know, changing in coaching staff and, you know, the Preds, you know, got on a hot streak with John Hines before the pandemic actually started. And being a new coach with a new team, do you think he's benefiting from this break? Because now he can kind of get his players together. He can have a training camp and kind of figure everything out going into the postseason.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I talked to John Hines within the past month or so. And, you know, I brought up to him a set of articles I did right after the season was suspended where I looked at some statistics comparing John Hines to Peter Laviolette in multiple categories. And one thing that John Hines stressed from his first day as Predators coach was the need to be more dangerous in the offensive zone, particularly in the middle of the ice, and defending the slot area in the defensive zone. And the statistics that I found showed that the Predators had noticeable regression in those areas between Peter Laviolette and John Hines. And when I talked to him about it, you know, the reason why he felt like is they didn't have time to adjust because they remember John Hines coached the game the night that he was hired. So they didn't really have a lot of time, a lot of practice time to implement these ideas. And now they've had the past 3.5 months to work with these players, show them video. And when they get on the ice and have a training camp, he can further implement those ideas. So what we're seeing on the ice will look a bit smoother, I think, with this break.
Adam, I know you enjoyed the NBA setup in Orlando, right? Because it is
just, I love it.
It is fantastic. And
the only thing that will make it better, I'm sorry for interrupting, is if the players and families can actually go into Disney World.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I saw a report that they might open some rides for them. Now that would be sick. Everything else is awesome.
I mean,
but, like, be able to basically have a free in to Disney World when no one else can go in would be pretty sick.
I mean, you already got free movies. They're getting Black Widow for free, and before it comes out in theaters for everybody else, they're going to get to watch it for free. So, hey, kudos to them. But, you know, what was your favorite rule of the NBAs? Like, what was the favorite thing that you took out from it?
I think I saw something that was tweeted that broke down the activities that the players could do, and one of them was talking about ping pong. And there was a rule in the memo that said that people should not participate in doubles ping pong in order to maintain social distancing. So they were restricting ping pong to one-on-one only, no doubles.
That's going to be a nice one-on-one tournament, though, for ping pong. Let's see, some NBA players are going to compete in that. But Adam, speaking of, so when you look at the NBA setup, do you see the NHL possibly doing something similar with their hub cities? And do you see, out of the 10, 11 hub cities that were named, do you see one that can kind of fit the similar plan that the NBA has?
Yes, I do, and I think it's one of the front runners at this point, and that's Las Vegas. And, you know, you've seen videos, I'm sure, on social media since Las Vegas reopened of people shoulder to shoulder in casinos, just like old times, with no regard for their own health and safety, as well as those of others. But, you know, the thing that's nice about the Las Vegas setup is the arena, T-Mobile Arena, is right in the smack dab in the Strip, plenty of hotels within walking distance. And I wonder what the NHL might do. Like, for example, would they, for lack of a better term, like rent out a casino, an entire casino floor or a wing of a casino and only have it available to players and families and staff and whatever? I think the most important thing is just to make sure that these players don't feel like they're living between their hotel room and a rink for, you know, 2.5-3 months. Certainly they're going to want to have some fun. So I'm hoping that the NHL at least takes some cues from the NBA.
Speaking of the NBA, Adam, I'm going to ask you this question now. What is more likely to happen?
All right.
Roman Josi winning the Norris Trophy or Zion Williamson winning Rookie of the Year?
Oh, man.
Oh, loaded.
At this point, it's going to be Roman Josi winning the Norris Trophy.
Okay, good answer.
Despite my hopes of Zion, but as we discussed a couple months ago, you know, apparently the number of games he played is going to be held against him, which, of course, I don't think it should be held against him.
Yes, it should.
And I look forward to whatever play-in round the Western Conference playoff has when the Pelicans win the 8th seed and then upset the Lakers in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Wow, you're just trying to frustrate me. I think that's what you did. I thought you were going to say Grizzlies, but you just went way ahead of that. And
you had
said,
us till the end. Yeah, you had us till the end, and then I think you pushed it a little too far.
The Pelicans.
Well, that is something we're going to talk at noon. Yeah, we're going to talk about this at noon with Pete Pranica from the Grizzlies television broadcast, because the Pelicans with Zion Williamson will be competing a lot with the Grizzlies to see maybe who does play the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. It's shaping up that way. We'll get into that. So, Adam, in the meantime, thanks for coming on. Good stuff as always, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, that's Adam Vingan. When we come back, we're going to get Marquise's case for the NBA Rookie of the Year, and I'll give the case for Roman Josi for the Norris Trophy. We'll have a little fun with that. And as I mentioned before, and we're going to talk to Pete Pranica at noon. We'll also have Joe Rexroad from The Athletic at 12:30 today. Another thing we'll get into later this hour is college football. They announced sort of a return to play practice schedule, but there are some things popping up here and there from some different areas of players testing positive for the virus, and how to try to navigate through all of that as they continue to try to move towards a football season. There's certainly some things to talk about. Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming here on 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
Social Casino. Download the Moto Casino app today